be singing all the praise. And the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains.
Welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is Judging Rightly. The hymns are 69, 466, and 590. I'll be reading from the Common English Version of the Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. Psalms. The Lord's judgments are true. All of these are righteous. They are more desirable than gold, than tons of pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, even dripping off the honeycomb. No doubt about it. Your servant is enlightened by them. There is great reward in keeping them. But can anyone know what they've accidentally done wrong? Clear me of any unknown sin and save your servant from willful sins. Don't let them rule me. Then I'll be completely blameless. I'll be innocent of great wrongdoing. 1 Kings. The Lord appeared to Solomon at Gibeon in a dream at night. God said, "Ask whatever you wish, and I'll give it you." Solomon responded, "You showed so much kindness to your servant, my father, David, when he walked before you in truth, righteousness, and with a heart true to you. You've kept this great loyalty and kindness for him, and have now given him a son to sit on his throne. And now, Lord my God, you have made me your servant in my father David's place. But I'm young and inexperienced. I know next to nothing. But I'm here, your servant, in the middle of the people you have chosen, a large population that can't be numbered or counted due to its vast size. Please give your servant a discerning mind in order to govern your people and to distinguish good from evil, because no one is able to govern this important people of yours without your help." It pleased the Lord that Solomon had made this request. God said to him, "Because you have asked for this instead of requesting long life, wealth, or victory over your enemies, asking for discernment so as to acquire good judgment, I will now do just what you have said. Look, I hereby give you a wise and understanding mind. There has been no one like you before now, nor will there be anyone like you afterward." Luke. Don't judge, and you won't be judged. Don't condemn, and you won't be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good portion, packed down firmly and overflowing, will fall into your lap. The portion you give will determine the portion you receive in return. Jesus also told them a riddle. A blind person can't lead another blind person, right? Won't they both fall into a ditch? Disciples aren't greater than their teacher. But whoever is fully prepared will be like their teacher. Why do you see the splinter in your brother's or sister's eye, but don't notice the log in your own eye? How can you say to your brother or sister, "Brother, sister, let me take the splinter out of your eye," when you don't see the log in your own eye. You deceive yourselves. First, take the log out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother or sister's eye. John. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he returned to the temple. All the people gathered around him, and he sat down and taught them. The legal experts and Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. Placing her in the center of the group, they said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of committing adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone women like this. What do you say?" They said this to test him because they wanted a reason to bring an accusation against him. Jesus bent down and wrote on the ground with his finger. They continued to question him, so he stood up and replied, "Whoever hasn't sinned should throw the first stone." Bending down again, he wrote on the ground. Those who heard him went away, one by one, beginning with the elders. Finally, only Jesus and the woman were left in the middle of the crowd. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Is there no one to condemn you?" She said, "No one, sir." Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, don't sin anymore." Psalms. Because the Lord's word is right, his every act is done in good faith. He loves righteousness and justice. The Lord's faithful love fills the whole earth. And from Science and Health. God has endowed man with inalienable rights, among which are self-government, reason, and conscience. Man is properly self-governed only when he is guided rightly and governed by his Maker, divine truth and love. Mortal mind judges by the testimony of the material senses until science obliterates this false testimony. An improved belief is one step out of error and aids in taking the next step and in understanding the situation in Christian Science. Mortal belief is a liar from the beginning, not deserving power. It says to mortals, "You are wretched," and they think they are so. And nothing can change this state until the belief changes. Mortal belief says you are happy, and mortals are so, and no circumstance can alter the situation until the belief on this subject changes. Human belief says to mortals you are sick, and this testimony manifests itself on the body as sickness. It is as necessary for a health illusion as for an illusion of sickness to be instructed out of itself into the understanding of what constitutes health. For a change in either a health belief or a belief in sickness affects the physical condition. Erroneous belief is destroyed by truth. Change the evidence, and that disappears which before seemed real to this false belief, and the human consciousness rises higher. Thus, the reality of being is attained and man found to be immortal. The only fact concerning any material concept is that it is neither scientific nor eternal, but subject to change and dissolution. Students are advised by the author to be charitable and kind, not only towards differing forms of religion and medicine, but to those who hold these differing opinions. Let us be faithful in pointing the way through Christ as we understand it, but let us also be careful always to judge righteous judgment and never to condemn rashly. The teacher must make clear to students the science of healing, especially its ethics, that all is mind, and that the scientist must conform to God's requirements. In mental practice, you must not forget that erring human opinions, conflicting selfish motives, and ignorant attempts to do good may render you incapable of knowing or judging accurately the need of your fellow men. Expose and denounce the claims of evil and disease in all their forms, but realize no reality in them. A sinner is not reformed merely by assuring him that he cannot be a sinner because there is no sin. To put down the claim of sin, you must detect it, remove the mask, point out the illusion, and thus get the victory over sin and so prove its unreality. The sick are not healed merely by declaring there is no sickness, but by knowing that there is none. A sinner is afraid to cast the first stone. He may say, as a subterfuge, that evil is unreal, but to know it, he must demonstrate his statement. To assume that there are no claims of evil and yet to indulge them is a moral offense. Blindness and self-righteousness cling fast to iniquity. Evil, which obtains in the bodily senses, but which the heart condemns, has no foundation. But if evil is uncondemned, it is undenied and nurtured. Under such circumstances, to say there is no evil is an evil in itself. When needed, tell the truth concerning the lie. Evasion of truth cripples integrity and casts thee down from the pinnacle. Christian Science rises above the evidence of the corporeal senses. But if you have not risen above sin yourself, do not congratulate yourself upon your blindness to evil or upon the good you know and do not. A dishonest position is far from Christianly scientific. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Immortal mind heals what the eye hath not seen. But the spiritual capacity to apprehend thought and to heal by the truth power is won only as man is found not in self-righteousness, but reflecting the divine nature. When we fully understand our relation to the divine, we can have no other mind but his. No other love, wisdom, or truth, no other sense of life, and no consciousness of the existence of matter or error. The power of the human will should be exercised only in subordination to truth, else it will misguide the judgment and free the lower propensities. It is the province of spiritual sense to govern man. Material, erring human thought acts injuriously both upon the body and through it. Willpower is capable of all evil. It can never heal the sick, for it is the prayer of the unrighteous. While the exercise of the sentiments, hope, faith, love, is the prayer of the righteous. This prayer, governed by science instead of the senses, heals the sick. Rise in the conscious strength of the spirit of truth to overthrow the plea of mortal mind, alias matter, arrayed against the supremacy of spirit. Blot out the images of mortal thought and its beliefs in sickness and sin. Then, when thou art delivered to the judgment of truth, Christ, the judge will say, thou art whole. Christian Science, rightly understood, leads to eternal harmony.
Quite enough love for all of us, and in this very room, there's quite enough joy for all of us, and there's quite enough hope and quite enough power for faith to bloom.